Manifest Your Best Dog, where we talk about how dogs think and why they're trainable. Are you considering rescuing a dog? Or have you already rescued one? Honestly, I think that, as a dog trainer, some of the most rewarding work I've done in my career has been with rescue dogs. The ability to implement some training and alter the course of a dog's life in a positive way is what I find so rewarding in general with the dog training. And rescue dogs are especially big in this case because they've come from less than ideal situations. That's why you are rescuing them. You're taking them out of these bad situations and giving them a better start to life. And the ability to implement some training and alter their behaviors into better reactions, you get to watch the dog unfold and watch their personality start to blossom. And you get to see them become more comfortable in their day-to-day life. You get to see their anxiety start to reduce. And it's such a rewarding process. And I'm not going to lie, it can also be a challenging process. Rescue dogs have come from bad situations, so they have, for lack of better terms, usually some baggage associated with that. But with some care and understanding and time and dedication, normally you can help those dogs reframe how they view the world and start to see life as a positive thing and start to view their environment as a safe and secure and good place to live in. Now, if I have clients approach me and ask me, perfect world, best case scenario, how should I acquire a dog? I've never had a dog before, and I want to go about getting one. What I'll typically recommend, again, in a perfect world, is that you go through and find a breed that suits your lifestyle, that lines up with what you like to do and is going to fit in well with your life in general, whether that's you have a busy household with kids, etc. Once you find that breed that's going to suit your needs and fit in well with your life, then you go about finding a really reputable breeder that uses good genetics and gives the puppies the best early developmental start from a physical and mental standpoint that they can. Acquiring a dog in this capacity is going to set the dog up for success. I equate it to a toolbox. You're giving the dog a full set of tools to go forward and be successful and happy in life. It doesn't mean that you will never have to put any work or training into that dog, but they're more well-equipped and set up to succeed better than a dog that has poor genetics, because temperament is genetic. And temperament is something that while you can work with, you can't necessarily change. And that is the dog's sort of presets to how they're going to, react to the world around them. And with a dog with a good temperament, it just makes everything a little bit easier for everyone, the dog included. But we all know that the world is so far from a perfect place. And if you've had a dog before and you're a seasoned dog owner, or you're just really interested in rescuing in general and you think it's something that you'd like to take on, like I said, it can be incredibly rewarding. And because the world is not a perfect place and we sort of have to make up for the actions of irresponsible people that have not done right by their dogs and have landed those dogs into rescues, many, many dogs in the world have found themselves in a situation that is either less than ideal or even really horrific and need the rescuing and they need the help. And I like to tell people that when you go into a rescue, that dog is not only going to be a rescue, which I define as like taking the dog out of the bad environment and putting it into the good environment. You maybe take it from a place where it wasn't getting food and you put it into a place where it is. But just meeting the dog's physical needs is just the beginning of it. So that rescue portion of getting the dog out of the bad situation and putting them into the good part is just the first phase of the process. I like to also say that rescuing is more than just a rescue. It's also a rehabilitation. And in rehabilitating the dog, that's where the mental work comes in for the dog. And that's where you need to start to help the dog reframe their view of the world as unpredictable, unstable, scary, dangerous, and start to reframe that into, you know, this is a safe place. I'm in a good place now. The world is not scary, not dangerous. I can handle myself. And you have to remember that these dogs, especially the adult dogs that find themselves in rescues, the dogs you get out of a rescue that are a really young puppy are typically not necessarily rescued themselves. Sometimes they can be, but typically it's that mother of the dog was found pregnant and rescued and then whelped or gave birth to the puppies either in the rescue itself or in a foster home situation. And those dogs carry a little less baggage because they have had less traumatic experiences versus an adult dog that Lord knows what situations it's been in, and what trauma has impacted it and its view of the world. So those puppies are a little bit more straightforward in your training approach because they have a little bit cleaner of a slate. Puppies in general have not developed their view of the world yet. And that is why they are so moldable, because you're helping them shape that view of the world. Whereas an adult dog already has its defense mechanisms developed, it already has its view of the world developed, it already has its survival instincts honed in. And that's where, when the dogs go through really traumatic, bad experiences, they develop those reactionary behaviors that aren't necessarily going to serve them well in a family household. So while they developed what they needed to develop to live through the situation that was bad, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to help them integrate into your family. And that's where the rehabilitation process comes in. You want to start to teach the dog that while this got you through life up until this point, maybe you don't need it anymore. And let me help you reframe what the world looks like from the view of like what is or is not threatening, you know, to a dog that has been in a really horrific life situation. Loud noises could indicate something that is genuinely threatening to them. And whether they developed the reaction to hide and run away from it, or, you know, be more combative and reactionary towards it, those skill sets help them survive that original situation. But loud noises in a typical home situation that's safe and secure don't necessarily mean that there's an actual threat present. And the training will help the dog start to reframe their thought process around what is and what is not actually a threat. And that's where you can start to eliminate those reactionary type behaviors of either fear or, you know, lashing out or being reactive. Now, there's a few things that I've noticed really help the rescue dogs integrate into the household. The first one is that you want to start to provide a sense of security. These dogs have gone through life feeling really insecure, and a lot of times actually being insecure, and living in that sense of insecurity produces a multitude of issues. It can range from the reactive behavior, the barking, the lashing out, all the way to the anxious type behaviors, the fearful behaviors. And different personalities of different dogs will sort of dictate how they end up, you know, developing those reactions. But providing that sense of security will help on either end. So if you start to provide a really secure, stable environment, and the way that you do that is through good leadership, dogs need a good leader. And this is something that often people struggle with totally understanding, because as humans, we don't need a good leader. We can do it ourselves. Humans, from like an evolutionary standpoint, are a little bit more of like a collective type, you know, takes a community, takes a village. That's where that saying comes from, but not necessarily needing one really strong leader. if they've got a few capable people together, they can get through the situation. Dogs are different. Dogs are pack animals. And because they live in a pack, that pack, the way the dynamics work is that they need one solid, good leader to get the pack through all the decision-making processes. And if they don't have a good leader, their ability to survive is incredibly compromised. So that's where the leadership, when it comes to dogs, is necessary. They need it. And if they don't have it, you're going to have issues resulting because of it. And again, those issues on a more timid dog can look like fear and anxiety. And those issues with the lack of leadership on a more bold dog that wants to maybe possibly step into that leadership role can look more like reaction based behavior, like the barking, the lunging, the growling, or even lead up to aggression. So either side is going to, again, be helped by that leadership and you stepping into a really solid leadership role. The other thing that really helps provide a sense of security for dogs is crate training. I can't stress enough how important crate training is and how much it provides your dog a sense of security. And many people view the crate as like a punishment type tool or something that's more like a punitive action. And again, that's a human thought process around the crate. To your dog, they see the crate once they've been properly introduced to it, and once they understand what it is, and once they feel safe and secure in it, they view the crate as their den. You know, dogs in the wild, they will dig a hole if they go to have puppies, you know, and they live in that den. That's where the puppies are raised with their mother, you know, in a hole in the ground, in a small cave, an area that's closed in on three sides so that, you know, predators can't come in behind, above, or below them. And they just have one opening that they have to keep an eye on. And that allows the dog to relax because they know if they're just keeping an eye on this one spot, they can relax otherwise. And having a crate set up properly is going to allow your dog that ability to decompress. And that is a necessary thing. If you think about it in the terms of a human, if you're go, 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 go 100% of the time, and you never give yourself the chance to rest, you're going to burn out. And the same thing happens for the dogs. If their nervous system is always on high alert and they never have that ability to completely unwind, completely decompress, you're going to burn out and you're going to get those negative, anxious behaviors or aggressive behaviors because of it. Something else that's really important with the rescue dogs and really is effective, and this is again for all dogs, but especially important with the rescues, is viewing your training, your basic training, not as training itself, but as giving the dog the skill sets to develop into a functional family member. And that includes setting boundaries. So if you have a boundary and you have a standard for the household, maybe it's that they're not allowed on the bed or they can't jump on the furniture. You don't want them running out the front door when you open the door. Setting those boundaries and helping the dog understand what's expected of them is going to really help the dog figure out how to be a successful pack member. Because dogs on a base level want to be productive pack members. And they want to be, therefore, a good member of your family. But if they don't clearly understand what's expected of them, it's impossible for them to rise to that occasion and to become a good family member because they don't speak English. You can't communicate with words that they understand. They'll, if taught, understand selective words. But because we can't talk to them, you can't sit down and rationalize with the dog. You have to teach through action-based things. And that setting those boundaries and making it black and white and clear for the dog what's expected of them in the household is going to really help them integrate into your pack, into your family. Something else that I found to be sort of a struggling point with a lot of people that have rescues in the home is that you need to learn to realize what their boundaries are. Any rescue, especially an adult dog, that has gone through some traumatic bad experiences in life and has shaped its view of the world to be a threatening and insecure place is gonna have different reactionary behaviors based on their environment than a dog that has been set up with all the proper tools to be successful in life and has not gone through those bad situations. So starting to understand what makes your dog feel threatened, what makes your dog feel uncomfortable, and then setting boundaries to advocate for them is incredibly important. Your dog can't set those boundaries and advocate for themselves. So a lot of times I'll see people say things like, oh, I just wish he would let strangers come up and pet him. That most likely for a dog that has had really bad interactions with people is not a realistic ask. So you need to be the one to advocate for your dog in those situations and set those healthy boundaries to say, when we're out in public, you know, my dog really gets uncomfortable when strangers approach them, and you set that boundary and advocate for your dog and don't allow those people to invade the dog space. Because any dog, when pushed past their threshold of feeling threatened, is going to have some sort of reactionary behavior. And dogs that truly feel threatened and actually feel like they really need to defend themselves may lash out and bite because that is how they defend themselves. That's their go-to. That's how they keep themselves safe. Or they may want to run away from the situation. Either way, placing that level of pressure on your dog where they're feeling uncomfortable and you're going ahead and doing it anyways, or allowing someone else to invade their space, etc., is just going to set you up for failure. So you want to start to understand what sets my dog off, what makes them feel threatened, and then set those boundaries and ease the dog into those situations. You know, start maybe with going to a park that only has a few people at a distance and allow the dog to unwind and feel comfortable with that. And then take baby steps to get into the busier situations. You know, don't sort of throw the dog into the deep water and expect them to swim. That really may not be a rational thing to go right into those big, busy situations. And for dogs that have really severe trauma and are adults, once you get them into your lives, it may just not be a reasonable ask for them ever. You know, they may not be the type of dog that gets to go to the outdoor restaurant. You know, they might be feeling more safe and secure and happy to be left home in their crate than to be put into that situation where they're really uncomfortable. You know, just like humans, you've got some people that are the social butterflies and they love to go and do and talk to 8 million people, and you have some people that aren't. And the rescues that have had those bad experiences, again, any dog does not want to be put into a situation where they feel threatened. It just does more damage than good. So reframing what life looks like for a dog that has had really traumatic experiences is a healthy thing to do. And again, this isn't like your run-of-the-mill, I got the puppy from a really good breeder and I raised them and they only had positive life experiences. Those dogs typically do have the skill set and the tools and the ability to go out and socialize on a bigger scale. And that's a good thing. And that's why I advocate for responsible breeders. But if you're dealing with a rescue, you have to understand that they may just not be in that category, and that that's okay. And that that's how you want to advocate for them. And to sort of sum it up, I would say that the biggest thing in general with dog training is to never get frustrated. You know, understand that you're two different animals communicating with each other and bridging that gap of communication. And anytime you bring a level of frustration or anger into the equation, you're going to undo any of the positive attributes that training session offered. So keeping your patience and trying to just meet the dog where they're at and being really consistent and really, again, patient. I can't stress enough that a rescue dog is going to take a little more patience than, again, just a dog that came out of a really healthy situation. And meeting them on their level with what they bring to the table and not pushing past those thresholds will help set you up for success to integrating that dog into the household and as a good family member. And also setting those boundaries to not set them up for failure. You know, make sure that your game plan, which you most likely will probably need to bring a professional trainer into the mix, unless you've done a lot of rescues and you have like a really good working knowledge of sort of animal behavior and how the dog's body language translates into how they're feeling and how you need to react based on that, you're probably going to need a little help and professional guidance along the way. And working with a trainer that has had previous experience and success with rescues is going to be a really key component to that to help get you set up for success with your dog. But if you can be patient and consistent and give that dog that level of security and leadership and, you know, healthy environment standards, you should have success with bringing that rescue into the home, as long as it is a breed that fits close enough into your lifestyle and is a dog that is at the level of which you're capable of handling as a handler. Different breeds and different personalities are going to have like a huge effect on that. But again, if you provide that level of security and those healthy boundaries for the dog, you're going to be setting yourself up for the most level of success possible.